Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville. Welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm your host, Andy, along with me.
Goma.
Kaufman.
Wow.
I'm Goma. Daniel. Gaudencio.
Gaudencio, there you go.
And I'm not wearing my United shirt today. I'm wearing my Wu-Tang shirt. So
that Wu-Tang shirt is fire, though.
It is.
It's lit.
It's lit.
Never felt like singing the blues.
All right, talking about lit.
United lose.
What a weekend of results. And I have to be honest with you. I don't know if anyone else is the same. When the game started on Saturday, I was kind of like, yeah.
Let's get to Sunday.
Stoke versus Leicester. Yeah. Come on.
Sunday.
That was
great
game.
Actually pleasantly surprised.
Not only like, was it a good match, but Ian Darke was announcing, and us Americans,
right.
We love us some Ian Darke.
This is true.
I noticed that too. I was like, does he just do
Where's
like
Tommy
random
Smith
one
now,
just pops
though?
Up like, hey, I'm here.
I believe he works for I don't know.
Fill it out. He works for the Union.
Okay. Tommy Smith is Union games.
Okay. But I kind of went into this kind of.
Does he have a bar in Philadelphia too? Like, I have no idea.
He probably should. Tommy Smith's Irish Pub.
You're right. He's stealing my idea of the
I'll
Irish Pub.
There.
Hey, no Irish Pub.
There's our road trip right there.
All right. So when I went looking
Except
at
no
looking
one wants
at
to go to
looking
Chester,
at,
let's
and
be
we're
honest.
Not making it home.
True.
Looking at this fixture, I thought, okay, Leicester are going to beat Stoke 1-2. When Shaqiri scored, I was like, okay, we got a game on here. Did anybody else feel that? Like, it was kind of box to box.
Yeah, it was end to end for sure. The first goal, Ebora kind of opened things up. And then you're talking about Shaqiri kind of bringing it back. Shaqiri definitely had a nice goal, but really that was all opened up by Chapu Moting with a nice little flick on to open up the space for Shaqiri. And then, yeah, the second half just continued to bring us more goals, another goal each side, ended in a draw 2-2, and it was a good game.
Why are you guys so down on Stoke alone? Every week we seem to come in and sort of sell short on Stoke.
But Stoke are good.
I feel like Stoke are
defensively
finding their footing. Yeah, they're
it's
very
a tough
solid.
Place to play.
Anytime, like that first goal, the Abora goal, is pretty typical of how you get past Stoke. It's usually in a corner, and it's just a flick in. Like everyone's in the box trying to get it in the back of the net.
Usually they're defending those set pieces pretty well because they got like Shawcross and all those guys.
And Zuma.
Super tall, yeah.
Zuma, who they better be looking to buy on permanent, not let Chelsea pull him back. Or, you know, in a year or two and sell him on to some other bigger club. I think he'd be a good fit with Shawcross. He's getting older as well, so it's probably time to look to move him on. And Zoom has been a good soldier
like
for them.
Talk about older. Crouch.
Oh, yeah. Did you do the robot when he scored?
No.
Can we do it now?
Oh, you can do it now if you want. I've got my
now.
Headphones on. I've got cables around me. I'm making excuses up right now. No, but
Don't
I mean,
let
that
the
was just.
Hold you down.
It came in off the corner and it was just an absolute bullet header. And where he put it as well.
Yeah, right into the ground. Goalie had no chance. It was a nice goal for sure. And Crouchy had only been on the field for just a couple minutes. He came on and made an instant impact. It was great to see him. He's scored like something like 50-something goals now with his head in the Premier League.
And it's great to see Shaqiri as well. He's been kind of a bit quiet of late.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty big-name player. And
right.
Stoke, you would expect him now with... the guy that went to West Ham, I forget his name, all of a sudden. Arnautovic, I guess. Oh, yeah, when Arnautovic went to... You would think that Shaqiri really would have stepped up. But he hasn't really. This is first goal in a while, I think.
I think he is who he is at this point. You know, we have this expectation, and he plays well from time to time, and now he's going to disappear again for 4 weeks.
Yeah, but the thing that was shocking when I was listening to the broadcast is they said he hadn't scored inside the box in his last like 6 or 7 goals. So all of his goals are like these screamers that are from distance,
right.
Which are really, really impressive.
Have you seen the guy's thighs? Like, they're massive.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He has the weirdest build for an international, like, high-class football player.
It's like a wrestler's build.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Him and Troy Deeney should link up.
There you go. But we should also talk about that Mahrez goal also,
right.
Which was pretty nice.
I was going to say.
Diouf kind of made a meal out of the... Lost possession to Ndidi, who just kind of booted up field. And Mahrez kind of had some good pace, and that dude Peters, I don't think he had a very good angle on it and kind of gave him goal side for some reason, which you should never do. And all of a sudden, he's just going past some other Stoke player, and Butland doesn't make a good save, and it's in the back of the net.
But this is the second week now. For last week, there was a goal that Vardy scored that was reminiscent of the season, two seasons ago. And this was the same. He kind of cuts into the corner and goes past the far side of the goalkeeper, and it was like a goal. Somebody just plucked it straight out of that season. Is Mahrez back in form again? He's one of those underrated players. I know a lot of people. Yeah. I don't pick him for any of my fantasy stuff, but maybe I should. You know, maybe he's getting back in form again. I don't know.
I think it's a matter of desire again. Leicester just seems to be a team. If they want to be on that day, they're on. And if they don't, they don't. They've already lost Ranieri because they turned themselves off. Shakespeare's gone now. Who knows? Maybe this new gaffer is pulling the right strings, but he is for now. This project, again, should move these players on while they still have some value to the club and can get some cash back. Leicester, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. Mm. They'll settle mid-table. They're going to move on. This is the defending champion from 2 years ago, but they're not expanding on that at all.
Right.
Yeah, Mahrez had 17 goals 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. Last year only had six, obviously, in a down year. This year only has two. So really he's kind of continuing on with his at least goal performance of last year. Honestly, I think he's played better than that. I think he's been playing better than last year.
Should have come to Arsenal.
So when you were talking about Ranieri and about Shakespeare leaving, is this the manager and he's just not getting it right? Or I get the feeling there's something going on with the players not wanting to play for him.
It's the players control the locker room.
You're out too. Yeah. We don't like you.
Yeah, the players definitely control that locker room. The players guided that team to that championship that year.
Right.
And getting back to the point of selling players on, to me it's still interesting that the one player that Leicester moved on was their best player in Kante, and they kept these other players. I don't know if people weren't reaching the valuation they had on Vardy or Mahrez, but Kante would have been the person I would have said, we are keeping you until the end. You were the person we're building this team
around. They sold him for $35 million. It wasn't like a huge number looking at the numbers you see now.
Well, and they missed on Mahrez because Roma wanted to buy Mahrez this summer and they couldn't agree to a fee. And now his value is just going to continue.
Arsenal wanted to buy
I was going to say Arsenal. You were saying about Arsenal last season.
Well, that's what they claim. So,
all right, well, let's move on to the next game. Swansea versus Brighton.
Glenn Murray.
Does it again.
Once again.
34-year-old.
Scoring machine.
Fourth goal in three games.
And another one off the cross as well.
Yeah, he almost had another one even after that off the corner. And great save by Fabianski.
Anybody else notice? Maybe it was just me. It looked like when it came in off the cross, it came off his knee? Like off the top of his thigh.
Like
even.
Thigh, yeah.
Yeah. What an odd place to score a goal. But
for me, that one was like Federico Fernandez, whose name we've said before on the show, not in positive light, just completely switches off and just lets the ball go right behind him. I guess he's assuming that Fabianski's going to take care of it. Fabianski's assuming
Flappy.
He's going to take care of it. And in the end, it's this weird thigh goal in, and just it was an odd goal. But, I mean, obviously no one was expecting it to get through there, not even Murray.
So, like Swansea.
Going down, Swansea.
Yeah. Sorry, Sean Chandler. I know you're a Swansea fan, but yeah, what's going on?
Yeah,
with
I mean, I don't know. This is 2 years in a row that they're in the danger zone, and they're in the danger zone super early. So,
knows? It is like, super early. They have 8 points off their first 11 games. The kind of numbers that will get you relegated for sure. But I don't know if they're... I think that they have a little bit more there. I like that guy, Abraham. I think they have other players on their team that
and they have Sanchez as well, who's yet to really make an impact in the Premier League. Granted, he's still young and still getting used to what life is like probably in England. But, I mean, we're talking about a world-class player from Portugal who should start to show some results. But Swansea are toothless. I mean, they had more possession in that match. They outshot Brighton, and nothing to show for it. I mean, 0-0, you get out of that, that's okay, but giving up the goal, it just sunk their day, and we may not see much more Premier League football in Wales. You know, we were talking about Cardiff earlier today, how much we miss them. I think we're going to be talking about how much we miss Swansea next year, too.
These are the type of games that get you relegated as a team in the danger zone. You have to get points out of the games like this. Whether it's one or three, you can't afford to lose this one.
Yeah, a newly promoted side coming to your house. here's a chance to get something positive going into the break, even if a draw. You know, right. It's okay, but to lose outright, it's tough. Tough to see.
But they didn't even have that one guy on the bench.
Sanchez didn't make the bench? Yeah, I didn't watch this match. It wasn't, like you said, Saturday was sort of tepid in footballing, except for Dortmund and Bayern Munich playing each other, but we won't talk about that.
On the flip side, though, the Brighton story is a great story. It's similar to, you know, the Leicester, similar to the Bournemouth story. It's a great story for the Premier League, so kudos to Brighton.
Right.
And you would expect Brighton to be winning these kind of games if they're at home, but they've actually won two games now on the road, which is pretty surprising since they played a few games. Let's see, how many has it been now? They won two, drawn one, and lost three. So it's not great results, but that's the kind of results that'll keep you up. Right now they're eighth place, 15 points. I mean, Brighton's doing really well, and Swansea's in the danger zone. They're 19th. So
that does a lot for your confidence when you see the newly promoted side sitting so many positions ahead of you, and you're sitting in the relegation zone.
Well, two out of the three newly promoted sides won again this weekend.
Huddersfield, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I think, again, these clubs, and I rate Newcastle. I think they're all going to stick around this year. We're going to see three teams that have been in the Premier League for a while go down, in my opinion, this year.
Who? Just out of interest.
Well, Everton. I still hang my hat on Everton. I hate to say that I think Palace are going to go down, but I just don't know that they've got enough to get it done. Mm. And Swansea right now. And it's easy to say. It's only the first week of November, so a lot's going to happen. I don't think you get relegated necessarily in the first week of November, but you're setting yourself up to just
be in the relegation
fight. Be in the fight, which, right. That fight is always interesting. I think we ignore that to a certain extent because
we were talking about this earlier.
How much fun that fight really is. And this is where
sure, it's not fun for the teams.
It's not, but it builds real character with clubs and with players. And this is what we're lacking here in MLS, is that we're not seeing players strive for surviving in the top league. And imagine if American sports ever picked this up, and they won't, it'll never happen. But you talk about guys like DeAndre Yedlin, who's gone through this battle with Newcastle. That's a guy who I want on our USA national team because he knows what it's like to play for survival. And you can't, how else do you get that?
You can't teach that.
Right, you can't. You have to go through it.
Right.
And
builds character.
It builds character and builds a club. I mean, you survive something. Look at what Leicester did to survive the year before they won the title. They were firmly in the relegation zone, and they battled themselves out of that. They stayed up, and the next year they won the title. So, anything can happen.
Another thing I think is interesting is if you look at this week's fixtures with a lot of the top six playing each other and then everybody else playing each other, those games between teams in the middle of the table and then teams in the middle of the bottom of the table and teams in the bottom, those are incredibly exciting games. I mean, like we just said with the Stoke game, I mean, you look at that and you're like, let's get to Sunday. But that was a great end-to-end football game.
And the best game today wasn't all the ones that you thought it was going to be.
It was Watford-Everton.
Exactly.
I mean, that game was insane. The ending of that game was insane. And there's another one. We just said Everton, has a really good chance of going down. Watford has overachieved a little bit. But, again, that's a game where either one of those teams could have won.
Right. All right, so the next game is Southampton versus Burnley. Burnley are another tough side.
Burnley is what, sixth in the table right now? Great.
Seventh level on points with Arsenal and Liverpool.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't emphasize that more.
I should have, right?
Sam Vokes getting on the scoring sheet, 81st minute.
Yeah,
late one, right?
Southampton possessed the ball. It had 62% of the ball in this match. So, and they created more shots. Again, this Southampton side is just so. It's not rated properly. I think we've overrated it because they put out all this good talent. And this is something, again, we've talked about before, that they've put out talent. But this program's not going anywhere. And to lose at home to a tough side, Burnley's a tough side. There's no doubt about it. But I just don't understand where they're going and what's happening with that club. I don't watch them enough to see them anymore to know what the problem is. Mm. But they're not scoring goals, and they're not winning matches that they should win or get points out of this. Going into an international break like this, I feel like you really have to go in on the front foot. You have to get those points. You're going to have 2 weeks where your supporters are all sitting around stewing in their juices about whatever happened that last. Yeah, that's a little graphic, I guess. But, and I can say that easier today because City got a good result. But it's like you go into that break on a high note rather than boy, this isn't going anywhere. We're not good.
Right, right.
What's going to happen? The manager should go. These players don't work.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between, and we'll talk about them later, Everton on the one hand and West Ham on the other. Same thing going into that break. Those are two teams that both needed wins. One got one. What's going to happen? Southampton's the same way. I feel like they kind of are spinning their wheels. And, you know, they played pretty well in the Europa League last year and had those fantastic games at Inter. And, like, this year it's just not, it's not coming together for whatever reason yet.
Right. All right, guys, don't forget you are listening to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. Yes?
Yeah, so I was going to say, though, Burnley right now 7th. I think Burnley are the right now they're 7th place. I think they have the best shot of any team to be in the top 6, not you know, one of the top 6 guys that you think would be in the top 6.
So who wouldn't make in the top 6 out of that?
Right, you got to take somebody out.
It would either be Liverpool or Arsenal is the most likely, which is going to be tough. But really what I'm saying is that they've taken over Everton's spot in that 7th place. Mm. I don't think that they're sixth place good, but I am saying that they're the new seventh place and firmly there. There is a 4-point difference between them and Brighton, and you know, I don't really see Brighton staying up there not much longer in the league. But really, the key is Burnley. They used to be a team that could only win at home, and they were very good at winning at home last year. This year, they're starting to win on the road, and so this is their third win on the road, which is pretty impressive. They actually have more wins away than they do at home, which is surprising for Burnley. So I think Burnley are starting to turn the corner a little bit. That crossing from Gudmundsson was really nice. That's what set up that goal for Volks. And you know, it could have gone either way at the end. Yoshida had a couple chances, and so did you know, Bertrand had a chance. But really, I mean, you got to it's about who can produce that moment of quality that really is of premier quality, if you will.
A separator.
Right.
And there was only one in the game today, and it was for Burnley.
Can Burnley hang on to Sam Dyche? Is he a candidate for possibly a bigger project?
Well, his name is being said a lot for Everton, right?
Right. Would he be the right fit for Everton or even something bigger? I mean, there's going to be other jobs that come available soon, I would think, especially in Stamford Bridge. That job might start to get on fire. I don't particularly see him as a fit for that role, but Sam Dyche has taken a project on and brought it up and solidified it.
Do you think Conte is like in the hot seat?
No, I think Conte wants to leave.
Yeah, exactly. He wants out.
Yeah. And I think Chelsea's a job that only big managers are going to go to because it's only going to last for 2 or 3
years. Right, yeah, because Chelsea's
going to Milan once that job comes open.
I think that with Chelsea, they like to get rid of their managers every few years. It works for them. And I think his time is up.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because he's been great for the Premier League. He took a Chelsea team.
What, his third season?
This is his second season. Chelsea team that was on fire, or in a dumpster fire from Mourinho, and turned it around and made them champions.
Right, exactly.
But the one thing about Chelsea is I don't see them hiring a English manager. I mean, if you look at their history since Abramovich has taken over, literally, it's just been a few games here and there where there's been English managers.
Well, English managers in general don't get a fair shake or a fair opportunity in general. And they're not going to get a big job like Chelsea.
Ranieri.
All right, guys, the time is now 20 past 6. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. All right, so we're talking about a game that, like, I felt we were talking about how Southampton just didn't get anything past. Newcastle versus Bournemouth. How unlucky to Newcastle. They have so many chances.
Heartbreaker.
Right.
Yeah. Heartbreaker.
But it was, I mean, Begovic, I think, was a big part of the reason that Newcastle didn't win. He had a couple really nice saves, and I mean, those are the differences. Yeah.
This is a big 3 points for Bournemouth as well. Where does that put them now on the table?
The fighting cherries.
Yeah.
Bournemouth are not doing that well, but they are now out of the drop zone, which is what they needed. 17th place, 10 points.
Another English manager. Does this English manager get looked at? I mean, he's got to be, no pun intended, he's got to be
Eddie
getting Howell. A little ripe on the vine here.
Yeah, Eddie Howe's been Eddie talked Howell. About for a long time. I don't know. I mean, Jordan Ibe came back, and he was terrible. Like, everybody, you know, people were excited to, you know, for his return, but he was pretty bad. And still, you know, Bournemouth was able to pull that game out. They created a lot of chances, like you said, but there were a lot of great saves in that game. They had some missed opportunities. Another game, you know, teams lower in the table, but, you know, both teams showed great fight. Yeah, but Eddie Howe's been talked about for a lot of jobs for a long time now.
Mm. Greggy was talking about him taking over for Wenger.
Well, Greggy was going to take over from Wenger.
Yeah, no, Greggy was Greggy,
that's
about
a very
Eddie
bold thing. I think I'll just take over the manager.
Greggy
would never manage.
Will he get that sweet jacket with the emblem on the, jacket?
That is a pretty sweet jacket, Christian. I'm going to buy one.
I think we're going to take up a collection for you, maybe a GoFundMe or something like that to get you in that jacket.
I'd be down. Yeah. I'd totally be down with that.
All right, so let's move on. Huddersfield versus West Bromwich Albion. And one of the goals of the weekend, I felt.
One of the great results. Power. I mean, Huddersfield, again, just...
Wonder strike from outside the box.
It's awesome. It's awesome to watch. Huddersfield is becoming my... maybe second team to take interest in, mainly because of David Wagner and the job that he's doing there. But it's exciting to see them do what they're doing. And Wagner loves his players and was over the moon about them after the match in his press conference. Just pure praise for their heart and desire to go out there and win. And it goes back to that TIFO that they put up a few weeks ago that, you know, with heart, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. And you're seeing it with Huddersfield that they're not just surviving, they're thriving in some ways.
And I love any time a Tony Pulitzer's team loses.
Not a fan of him?
No.
But Huddersfield had to last the last half an hour.
He's
plus
a rugby coach.
With down to 10 men, which is, I think, the most impressive part of all. They really had to, you know, batten down the hatches to secure this victory. It was an impressive performance. There were a number of chances for West Brom late on in the game, and I thought that Lussell was the difference for Huddersfield. You know, we were talking earlier about teams, you know, Premier League teams going down. To be honest, I don't. If West Brom went down, I wouldn't shed a tear.
Hey, with Pulis though, I don't think he's gonna get any team relegated. That's sort of his specialty.
I don't think they're going down. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, I'm like, there's all these clubs don't want to see Swansea go down.
Yeah.
West Brom go down, so be it. I don't care.
There is a certain apathy, I think, that is set in certain grounds because these teams know that they're never going to outspend the Chelseas or the Cities or Uniteds. And West Brom, if you're a supporter of West Brom, you're going to be happy to finish 8th to 12th in the table every year. You're just the tomato can that all the big guys are going to beat on. And, you know, you get a guy like Pulis who's going to keep you up every year. But... yeah, I mean, maybe relegation isn't the worst thing in the world, but I don't see it either that they're going to go down. Pulis would never let it happen. There are some talented players there, but again,
yeah, that's what's amazing. Let's just go through who played for them today. Robson Kanu, who had a great Euro with Wales. Jay Rodriguez, who had a lot of promise, but since got injured and is kind of getting back into form. Gareth Barry, Premier League legend. Jake Livermore, England starter. Kieran Gibbs, ex-Arsenal player. Johnny Evans, who almost went to Man City for a crazy fee.
Oh, but he's been so bad this year.
Gareth McCauley, who's been around forever. Ben Foster. I mean, these are players that you see in the Premier League year in, year out for the most part, and they're good.
Probably won't get relegated. They'll always be able to do just enough.
Yeah, but they're level on points with Bournemouth. They're 1 point above West Ham. I mean, let's not just guarantee them safety because of their manager, but I mean, I don't see it. But at the same time, it's kind of surprising that they're playing so poorly. Really, their home form is what's killing them. I mean, they already had three draws at home, one win, one loss.
Well, and City went in there and wrecked them. And one thing that really stood out to me was, and not wrecked them, it was 3-2. The scoreline flattered West Brom to say the least, and two awful goals that were given up. But there was nobody in the stands. And, you know, it's not my money. It's tough to say how people should spend their money. But if you're going to go to a match, do you want to see your team play against the best? Or do you just want to go out there and see them play against a team that you could possibly win against? I would think that, you know, when the big guys come to town, that's when you show up. And
I'm not
giving any stick to West Brom supporters because, frankly, if you're a West Brom supporter, God bless you. You're a good person because that's a tough thing to say that you're...
I don't think Greggy would say that.
Yeah.
And can't stand them.
Yeah, West Brom, though, four losses on the road. That's really what's killing them. Mm. And now another one today, or yesterday.
You going to say something?
No, I'm good.
Oh, you're good. All right.
Well,
he looked like he was.
Today, but...
All right. Well, you know what? You're the same as me then. I'll give you a hug afterwards.
Log it out.
Bibby girl. All right.
Log it out, baby.
All right. So the next game was West Ham versus Liverpool.
This was an interesting one going into it and fell flat. Within 20 minutes, I'd say, I was like, okay, I can turn on the Dortmund pregame match.
24 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. And after West Ham had shown some fight, they kind of just laid down to a much superior team.
I mean, Oxlade Chamberlain got on the scoring sheet, so.
On his first start.
Right.
He's now one start, one goal.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not trash after
I did feel that West Ham kind of held in for a bit.
Ox, but he just... He's like Sterling.
I don't know. West Ham is in a bad place.
Better club now.
You send Raheem Sterling going into this weekend? What was it? 9 games and 8 goals.
He's top of the league.
Yeah, he's top of the league. Yeah,
Raheem Sterling. He's top of the league.
Pace on that guy. I didn't like him last year. Like he's completely changed.
We'll get there, but we'll get there. I don't think you want to talk about it.
Should have had an assist.
He ended up in the back of the net, not the ball.
I think the big thing to take away from this Liverpool-West Ham match was the fact that Leroy Sané was back, and that guy just, he can carry Liverpool as far as they're going to go. He is absolutely world-class.
You said Sané.
I'm sorry.
You mean Salah.
Mané and Sané. Maybe they should get together and be an R&B group.
That would be a good one. Sadio Mané, that guy...
Hey, we might be onto something. I will approach them with a contract.
Sadio Mané has got the speed and the touch, and he's the guy that they should be looking to build that team. So move Coutinho on and build around Salah. And these two guys, I mean, he ran things for Southampton
when he was there. Like, he was.
Coutinho not even on the bench today.
But also, they need to improve that back line.
It's nice to see Lanzini get on the score sheet as well.
Isn't that always the story with Liverpool, though?
That's why people are talking about Klopp. You know, obviously this was a good win, but that's why people have been talking about is could Klopp be in danger if they don't make the top five?
Four, really.
Yeah, if they don't make the top four, could Klopp be in danger? Because, I mean, the defense hasn't gotten any better. I mean, they still have the same weaknesses throughout the time.
But it's the arrogance that we're four deep in the center back position, which is just mind-boggling, even after they sell Sacco. I mean, finally, they don't start Lovren today, which... If you think of Lovren a couple weeks ago against Tottenham, he let in two horrible goals.
Well, they pulled Lovren before the match started last week.
We didn't talk about it last week. It was a really weird situation. So they had him as the starter, and then all of a sudden he gets, quote, injured or whatever in the lead-up. But a lot of people are just like, maybe he just didn't want to play.
Right. I think that Liverpool are going to suffer as the season goes on because they're on too many fronts with Champions League going on, that their depth is going to be tested sorely, and they're not in a good position as it is right now. I shouldn't say they're not in a good position. They're not where they want to be right now in the league, but they're doing well in.
I don't know if they know where they want to be.
Well, they want to be in the top four.
That's been the problem with Liverpool for years. Is like, what are their expectations?
Mark, remember, win the league. This is their year. Mark, remember that this is their year.
All right, so
they're delusional.
We should be talking about Slaven Bilic.
That was just about to say.
Yeah,
is he out?
Wasn't he given a couple
two games,
weeks ago? Wasn't he even
games,
three
two,
games?
Two or three games. Yeah.
They beat Tottenham in the League Cup.
Right. Then they had that horrible loss last week, and they got destroyed this week. He's going to have to go. I mean, he's going to.
You're a cup team.
West Ham fans are going to be lighting torches and grabbing pitchforks very quickly.
David Moyes came out and basically said
Everton?
That he wants the job. So the chosen one may return to the Premier League in a job that he's not qualified for and probably not going to be happy getting there. I don't see that being the right choice. That's a team that needs a Tony Pulis to keep them up to survive because West Ham are in trouble. As the results are showing, so they need a manager, and maybe Big Sam returns. And Big Sam at West Ham, but
forever blowing bubbles.
Big Sam at West Ham. That sounds like a brunch special in London. Like
it is.
I get that on Sunday with like a carafe of like mimosas. Like that sounds amazing.
Hey, I had some mimosas this morning.
I think that's the equivalent of the moons over Miami at Denny's. I think you get the Big Sam when you're in London for brunch. So that would be good.
What is the Big Sam?
It's going to be fried and it's going to be heavy, whatever it is, and probably
it's basically English breakfast times too.
It's going to be like a pound of bacon and
that's it, just
maybe
a pound
some
of bacon,
sausage, and
but not bacon like English bacon,
the works.
Which is like ham.
It's the works, like
not Canadian bacon.
It'll be something you can never finish because it's guaranteed not
Canadian
to go down.
Bacon's not
good. Oh, that was good. That was
there
good.
Go.
Bravo.
Here we go. Here we go. All right. So, Moyes, you were saying about coming back to Everton, right?
No, or coming where? To West Ham.
Really? Yeah, I thought. I'm sorry. Maybe I read that wrong. I thought he wanted to go back to Everton again.
No, he's put himself out for the West Ham job. You know, again, working in London at that stadium with a project with some decent pieces to it, but maybe not cohesive. But again, I think West Ham's
got
to just
be. He's got Arnautovic.
He's got to be
in
survival mode right now. There's no way. Okay, so this year's kind of out. They're not going anywhere this year, so just stay up so that next year you can build. This year, just get a manager in there who's like, okay, batten down the hatches. We're not going to lose on the road anymore. We're going to draw on the road. We're going to win at home, and we're going to get by with 38 to 45 points. That's how we're going to survive. This isn't working with Bilic right now. I'm not really sure what he wants to do there anymore, just to keep his job, because it's not working. You know, great, you got a cup win against Spurs. Congratulations. It's a tin cup that I don't put any stock in whatsoever. But
wear as a hat.
But the bottom
it's
line
a
is
Mickey Mouse
you've
couple thing.
Got to survive. And West Ham, the way they're playing, and it's just not working. They have to move on.
When did this start? Is this something that's just this season, or was
no.
this when Piatt
it's
left?
It's been compiling for a
long time. It's sad. You know, they had a great run at it, not last
Two
season,
years
but
ago.
The season before. Yeah. Like, they
were
you
fifth.
Know,
they were fifth, yeah.
They were fifth. Like, and everyone's like, Bilic is a great manager. Like, he's taken this team. And then, like, he had that whole Piatt fallout situation. And
mishandled all the way.
I think, you know, looking at it, they made the right decision at the time to sell Payet, get the money, reinvest, get Snodgrass, get some people. But, like, really? Alex made this point with Leicester when Ranieri got canned. It's a lot easier to replace a manager than it is to replace an entire team.
We can't fire
maybe Bilic should have gotten canned and Payet should have stayed.
Well, something interesting you say with Snodgrass, he's moved on, I think, to Aston Villa. I'm not sure where he's at right now, but he gave an interview.
He's old.
He might be old, but he gave an interview, and he said that Bilic didn't know where to play him, and he asked Bilic to play on, I think, the right side, and Bilic said, no, you're going to play on the left. And he's like, but I prefer the right, and this is my stronger side. And Bilic was like, no. And you're thinking,
well, he is left-footed.
You've brought in an asset. You bought this player, and you're not going to work to his strength.
He needs to play in the center.
So then you wonder what happened with Payet, where Payet was like world class for a year. I mean, just absolutely the most on fire player you could imagine.
He was great in Europe,
and he's gone. Yeah, he was great at the Euros, and he's gone. And they didn't get their money's worth out of him because they could have sold him on
right after the Euros,
right? And they blew that whole thing. So West Ham, you know, it's probably time to make the change, spend some money in January to stay up.
Yeah, so two things there. One is Aston Villa do have Snodgrass on loan, so nice.
Well done
night.
For that. Well
yeah,
done.
Impressive. And the latest news on the Telegraph is that Bilic out in 48 hours. Moyes in 48 hours, I should say.
I can't imagine that. I just can't.
Well, this is when you fire him in
international
break.
Hey, I think
Moyes
can write the ship. Like, I think Moyes can write the ship.
Right, that actually is a good point.
Absolutely.
Dan. That's a good point. You knock him out now when.
Oh, yeah, you got to do it
break.
Now going into the break so you give him enough time. Whoever
time.
The new coach is, yeah, get some extra time.
It's a good
training.
Time to do it during the international break, for sure.
And I've met David Moyes, humble brag, but he's a really nice guy. I just don't understand how he's going to be the guy who's going to help them survive. Mm. I mean, his Everton sides finished seventh endlessly, or sixth endlessly, aside from
so
the 1 year.
So that's the guy you want to bring in to keep you up.
Yeah, but I think they underachieved.
He's more of a status quo kind of manager.
Right. And that's not a team I think needs a status quo. They need a shakeup. And that's not what I think Moyes will do. But I'm glad to see him back. I mean, he's definitely quality. I just don't think that's the right fit for the right time and the right job.
I mean, did he get enough time at United, Andy?
No, but I often think, I was just about to say this, I often think that Sir Alex Ferguson was like, yeah, bring in Moyes. Make me look good. You know, like, you know, like,
oh,
like, you,
wow.
You bring this guy in.
Not that
Sir Alex Ferguson needs anybody to make him look good. He is good. He was great.
Moyes took that team to the semifinals of the Champions League in 2012. So or 2014. I don't think.
Yeah, but that team was not very good. If you looked at it, it was bare bones, skeleton squad.
He dragged United into the semis of the Champions League. And I felt like he got a hard shake at United because results, they just wanted to keep on rolling. They came off winning the championship, so they wanted to win win again in 2014 or finish second behind City or whoever, and they didn't get that. So and they fired him, what, in well before the season was over, he was gone.
Yeah.
But now United, and we'll get there, there's some stability there.
Well, and that's sad because Ferguson should have gotten canned back in the day.
Right, yes.
Seven seasons.
Like, people forget, in the 80s, like,
it's very different now. Like, now,
right, that was
it's
a different
like
time.
We live in an age of immediacy.
Instant
so, like,
gratitude.
Yeah, we live in an age, Mark, like, where managers don't last that long when they're mediocre. They just
unless
get conned.
You're Arsene Wenger,
exactly.
And you get to like hang on to your throne forever.
Well, we're going back to Moyes, though. He had like almost the same record as Van Gaal his first few games.
Right.
And Mao had very similar numbers as well.
Right.
The problem with Moyes was that his teams didn't look very good as they got results that were not as expected.
Well, Mourinho's not getting the results, and they're playing, or he's getting results, but they're playing ugly football to the point of where the United supporters want to meet with Mourinho. Imagine a club that big where the manager has to go in front of the supporters to validate himself. But the thing is, the supporters are going to be there in 10 years. Mourinho's not. So the supporters at Manchester United are very important to what's going to happen
there.
They are,
but I don't expect a meeting to happen.
No.
Well, Mourinho is all about sort of throwing little barbs until this week.
We can get to, obviously, that game, like the Man United game, but we need to move on to the Spurs versus Crystal Palace game that took place.
No, go ahead, Alex.
They're going to give me more than
Alex
a minute, right? I mean, come on.
We've got a break, but we can...
It's a 1-0 game. How much can you talk about?
Oh, I got hours of material.
We can come back after the break, Alex. Don't worry.
Let's come back after the break. Let me collect my thoughts. Let me get the list going. I'm just kidding.
All right. No, you're good. You're good. We can go to break now because Alex wants to go to break. All right, guys. We're going to come to break
goal,
now.
One
Super
it's
Sunday.
Almost 20-7.
Let's
we'll be
Sunday,
right back.
Boys.
All right, Alex. All over to you.
Let's talk about Spurs.
Go ahead, baby girl.
But let's not just talk about Sunday, Super Sunday. Let's talk about Super. What was it? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Super Wednesday.
Wednesday or Tuesday. No, it was the Champions League. Come on,
this is
one of the biggest wins in Spurs history. They play Real Madrid at home, 3-1. They're up 3-0. I mean, it was an impressive game.
Before you get too deep into this, I'm curious what your thoughts are about Harry Kane. So he doesn't start on Sunday, but makes the miraculous... doesn't play on Sunday.
This is last Sunday.
Last Sunday, but makes the miraculous recovery to play against Real Madrid. Apparently he was begging Pochettino during the early week to come back and play.
It's a rehearsal.
So he starts. I made that joke too, and I don't know that it's true. And then he plays today as well, and only goes about an hour. So was it worth the risk of Harry Kane in a match that... Yes, it's worth a lot to play Real Madrid, and this is a very speculative argument on my part, but starting Harry Kane at home in a match where Spurs look like they're going through regardless, would you rush a player that important to your side to play a match that marquee level, it's huge, but in result, does it really matter too much if they had won or lost that match?
I think the key for Pochettino is that he needs to manage the player. And if the player is like, this is acting like it's life or death, you know, he's begging to be into the squad. And if you think he's 95, whatever the percentage is, healthy, and you think he can manage it, not necessarily extend it, and the physio approves it, then yeah, green light. Green light. And I think you have to do that with your best player wanting to play against the best squad in the world in order to keep that it's when you're a manager, it's like a deal. You're making a deal with your players that you trust me, I trust you, and it has to be a two-way street. And if Kane is saying, hey, trust me, I'm good, you know, hey, Pogba, you know, he tried to get that trust out of Mourinho earlier this year, and it was a horrible mistake with a hamstring, which is what Harry Kane had. That's coming back to bite them, you know, today and in the last month or so. It can go the opposite direction, for sure. And so it shouldn't always be the player's decision. I think it was the right decision. Obviously, Spurs had a great match against Real Madrid, and
but
it was arguably their biggest win of
the
season.
I mean, I think if the physio clears you and you're Harry Kane and you're like, well, maybe I'm not 100%, but I'm close, you put him in because a 90% Harry Kane is better than not having him not play at all.
Well, and I think he affected that match without, I mean, he wasn't on the score sheet, but he affected that match. You can see the way that he played. The movement that he offered, I mean, it definitely had an effect, a positive effect for Tottenham.
Are you talking about Champions League or today?
No, I'm talking about Champions League.
Because today, and this is a great conversation we had earlier, how much he'd, and you're right on, Daniel, about how he affects the match. He dropped back so many times to get the ball today.
I noticed that.
He wants, he wants to get his touches.
He's a trooper, man.
It's awesome to watch, and I'm not a Spurs supporter by any stretch, but I love watching good football, and that number 10 is playing like a number 10. He gets the ball. He moves the ball. He's running around like a madman, and he only went about, an hour today?
Yeah.
But what a great hour it was.
So today it was a tough match against Crystal Palace. They really parked the bus, and this has happened a few times with Spurs now, where they've come up with teams like Burnley, Swansea, and Bournemouth, who all parked the bus. They made it hard for them to break down. And what you need is that extra man on the midfield. And so when Kane comes back in the midfield, it gives them that extra man. And all of a sudden, there's an odd number for Spurs, and they have a man up in the midfield. It gives them one extra pass, and they can kind of move through. Kane didn't produce anything today, but his movement was key to just kind of opening up space.
That's his production.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you're not going to score.
And in the age of fantasy football, where everything you care about is it a goal or an assist? If not, I'm over. You know, that's not what his game is always about. Usually it is. That's why most people have him on their teams. But that's what this game is all about.
That gets no credit.
I do think overall they would be better if they had someone else who could sometimes fill that role, because it leaves them sometimes, like in the Palace, it makes it hard for them to break down teams when you have to rely on the person you also rely on to score to come back and, you know, set
plays up. Well, usually it's Eriksen. Usually Eriksen is that guy.
Your season goes down.
Well, he went down, and we saw what happened last week against United. We played Son up top. That seemed a little off-balanced, I would say. He did go down last year for about a month, and he still ended up with the golden boot. Son, actually, again, was the guy that saved us in a lot of those matches. Son only had his second goal of the season. Or, actually, I don't know if it was the second goal of the season. But I know that he became the highest-scoring Asian-born scorer in the Premier League with 20, which is a kind of random stat, but they were making a big deal about it. So Son is arguably the best Asian player ever to play in the Premier League over Ji-Sun Park.
Now.
Who was, like, one of the guys that Alex Ferguson would put in.
We do have to talk about those. Spurs left a lot of chances for Palace. Palace should have been leading that game. Zaha missed a wide open net, like a literally wide open net.
Zaha was giving you problems. It was Dyer, the one that was tearing it all up.
Palace could have put 2-3 home in that match.
Right before.
And it's funny, Phil Neville was the announcer on today's match, and he really took Zaha down in criticism as the match went along. And I'm never a big fan of that, but Zaha is a player who went to United for a year and it didn't work out, and he went back to Palace. You wonder where a guy like that who seems to have so much talent but just can't finish.
Yeah, but I think he's in the right spot for right teams. You know, he went to United.
Well, unless they get relegated.
Well, Crystal Palace are happy to have them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, his game winner or the game drawer last week was big for him. You know, I rate him. I think he's a really good player, but goodness, you've got a wide open net and miss it like that against this big time opposition. You've got to finish. You've got to score.
And that whole move was opened up by Aurier with a horrible pass. Yeah.
What's the difference between Zaha and Raheem Sterling?
All right, guys, we need to move on. All right, so Manchester City versus Arsenal. I'm going to pass it over to the City supporters.
So City, this is the mark of a great team. The mark of a championship team is they were not at their best, obviously. And Pep set it up on Thursday or Friday at the press conference and said they were tired and they were looking for a lift from the supporters. They were obviously tired. I mean, in the first 5 minutes of the game, they were not moving with the same urgency and enthusiasm that you usually see out of them.
Right.
But they outplayed Arsenal, and in the end, they get their 3 points. So, you know, you've got to be able to win these games when you're not at your peak in order to, you know, collect points for when we get to February.
The City looked tired the whole game.
Oh, Sané looked incredibly tired.
They looked like
Sané was almost, like, out of the game.
Get stuck in here, Mark, because I really want to hear what you had to think about. I watched this match with you today.
Yeah, me and Christian and Alex, we all watched this game, and you know, I thought the first 20 minutes we looked really good. The first goal was against a run of play. De Bruyne is class. Like, I love De Bruyne. I love the KDB. Like, I'm not a City fan. I kind of am. Like, I love Oasis. So, like,
well,
I'd much rather see City win than United win.
I'll say that.
Yeah, and Johnny Marr. Johnny Marr and Noel Gallagher are hanging out together at the match, and Johnny Marr is like,
yeah.
He looks like Antonio Conte. He looks like Antonio Conte. He's like, hey, no, look here, Blake. You just go over there, just pinch in. Like, it's just like he's giving him like a lesson. It was great. Like, pinch in. Like, hack him.
If
hack
I do
him,
this,
like,
heaven knows I'm not miserable now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
nice,
yeah.
Nice.
And like, I was telling Christian this, like, I thought overall, like, it was a pretty, like, standard City Arsenal match, which is always like, you know, toe to toe, like fairly even. You know, you all were clearly the better team on the day, but like the main thing I want to say, and I think most people would agree with me, is that this game as a neutral was robbed by this offsides flag that didn't come up.
Well, Wenger, after the match, really took the official to task,
or
officials
sure
in general. He basically said that that refs don't work enough, and every year their level continues to drop. Oh, you know, these things average out, and you know, today was our day, and so it's easy to say. There's many times where City get bad calls. We all get bad calls. It's never fun when it happens against you, and video replay is probably on its way in. I would agree.
And I think that's the future.
Right, and that goal was definitely offside. Does it change what the overall result of the match was going to
no.
be?
No.
No. It changed it as we watched it. Well, it changed it as we watched it, because 2-1 matches on, and you know, you don't know how
like Arsenal had no fight at the last 10 minutes, I didn't think.
The last 10 minutes, I thought they didn't have much fight until they made their changes. I mean, not starting Lacazette, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue with the game.
There was
you spend that
striker.
Much money, you have a record signing,
exactly,
and you don't start him. And this isn't the first time it's happened. This has happened a couple times. So, like, Wenger sometimes, and I think this is why I'm going to say it, he needs to leave.
Hey, he because, finally says it.
Because he continually gets his
I've
tactics
heard anyone
wrong.
Say this before. Are you,
is this a new
He continually
new
gets his tactics wrong. Like, bring in somebody else. Like, maybe Klopp gets fired at Liverpool and then bring Klopp to Arsenal because, like, we have more class.
Pep definitely had it.
Do you have more
at
class?
Home. He had.
Then Liverpool? Look, are you kidding me?
And to get back to Champions League, Napoli.
Oh, that Napoli
match. Napoli versus City, for you football supporters that are listening out there, that match goes in a museum for how good the beautiful game can be. How fast those two teams raced against each other and played
Napoli's
positive.
Great.
Napoli's great. How great these two teams played against each other. And all Pep needed was a draw. All he needed was a draw, and he went for blood. And that's amazing to watch. As English football supporters, to see a manager play this wide-open style of football where everybody's involved, and we don't care if you score three because we're going to score six. We're coming at you every single moment of the
game.
Well,
the thing about scoring six, though, is that you guys have actually got to put it in the back of the net. Sterling, we were going to talk about it earlier. Let's talk about it now.
Let's talk about this. Manchester City have 51 goals across all competitions right now. Lead the planet. If anybody's hanging their hat on the fact that Raheem Sterling missed a sitter today, good luck with that, because we're scoring goals, and that's what's going to win championships.
But I think that what I thought was interesting is that earlier in the week, Pep said specifically about Sterling is that to keep your place, you need to score goals.
That's fine.
And then what happens in this very next game?
And that's fine, because we have Gabriel Jesus sitting behind him to come in. It's not like a loss if Raheem Sterling's not
starting. I just think it's very strange that you make a comment like that, and then,
well, it's telling is what it is. He's basically called the player out, say you have to finish your chances. He didn't finish his chances. This year we've got somebody and a system that can change the result, where before Pellegrini wouldn't have known what to do, and Mancini wouldn't have known what to do.
So if you pull Sterling out, who do you play on the right?
It's Jesus. It's two
you play
strikers.
Jesus on the right?
It's two strikers. They go narrow,
right,
and then you bring Sané off the bench. I mean, remember, Sané wasn't starting every match. It was exciting to see the front three that
Sané
we started today.
Sané has been your best player.
Sané's been our best player.
No, yeah. De Bruyne, obviously.
Well, De Bruyne is affecting matches, but Sané is scoring goals and getting assists. De Bruyne does that quiet work.
De Bruyne
work.
Is leading the league in assists?
De Bruyne does the work that doesn't get a lot of credit, and he
yeah, but that's the thing, though. That's the thing. In your team, there's a lot of players like that, like Fernandinho.
I hear everything you're saying, but like when you get in games, and like today, like could have been a tight game, like minus the call,
it was a tight game.
It was a tight
game. City let him stay in the game, yeah.
But like with someone like Sterling, when you get into, and we were talking about this, Christian picks me up from my house and we're like, we're both nervous. This
oh,
is
I'm
not
sick.
Good.
I'm sick
like,
going
we're,
into
we're
these
like
matches.
Sick. We're like nervous. We're both like,
it's like a first
man,
date.
I hope it's a good game, but we're nervous. Like, yeah, it was. It, no, it's like a,
nobody
it's like a
first
blind
date.
Like,
yeah. There was electricity in the air.
Baby girl. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know but, that I was a real football fan until I woke up on match days and knew, and I was sick knowing we had a match come up. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew that it meant more to me than just.
Yeah.
Have you ever cried when your team has scored?
93-20, baby. Of course I did. Yeah, I mean,
I cried when Arsenal. When the last time Kane scored against Arsenal in that game, he had two. That header.
I'm about to tackle you right now.
the game today, the Monday night game we'll get to, ruined my birthday.
I'm sorry to hear
that. My wife was like, "You're all right."
We should get to that because this there's a lot.
My closing point about Sterling. Okay.
My closing point,
he fluffed a lot of lines today, and in big games, that's going
to
cost you.
City won 3-1 and fluffed lines, and that's what that. See, to me, that's where the narrative doesn't make any sense.
Well, you played us today, so
yeah.
Like when you play
we
like
beat a really
Chelsea,
good team today.
I know.
They left the
shot
on the table in the
shut
first
up.
Match against.
No,
Napoli.
I'm saying like it throughout the season. There's going to come a time where you're starting Sterling. And maybe
that.
He doesn't get
I
the job done.
9 out of 10 times.
And we
yep.
will bring we will
time.
Bring you back on this.
Please do.
T-Rex mm-hmm. arms. For
we
life.
Will revisit this. I love it.
Sterling has been hot this year. He really has.
Yeah.
And today, yeah, he was disappointing. But there was a lot of things.
You think
that,
he's hot? You want to take him on a date?
No.
So hot right now.
All right, Mark. All right.
That
so
hustle,
yeah,
he's so hot.
Let's get on to the next game: Chelsea versus Manchester United.
This is still to me the Super Bowl of. The Premier League.
And just like the Super Bowl, it usually sucks.
Well.
And, well, not of late. It used to be when we were growing up. The Super Bowl used to not be very good. A lot of hype. Didn't really
Andy,
live up
I really
to
want
it.
To hear how this ruined your birthday. I hate to say that.
It just, I think United played awful. I think we played awful. Was I the only one that just thought that every time we went forward, you just knew nothing. I just knew that nothing was going to happen. And I actually thought, yeah, we're going to concede.
I thought that United didn't park it as much as I thought.
Well, they didn't.
No.
They didn't.
They definitely.
But
not so,
I think credit
that's
to Mourinho for that.
That's one of the things. I don't think when we I don't think we're good enough to play open offensive football. I don't think
Chelsea,
we're good enough.
This isn't the Chelsea of yesteryear. This Chelsea team is down on talent. I would say
down
they are.
On talent.
They're down on talent.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Zappa Costa.
Conte
you know,
was back in the lineup today,
Conte
which I think
was.
Makes all the change in the world for them.
Willian on the bench. Pedro on the bench.
But here's the thing: like this is when the Mourinho. This
I would
is
say
when,
Conte put a defensive lineup up. Like,
yeah.
This is when having Mourinho as your manager as a supporter would get super frustrating for me because like you can it's cool to be pragmatic when you're getting results but when you're being pragmatic and losing 1-0 like that gets
but,
old.
But
really
did you
bad.
Not notice that they did play? They weren't parking the bus as much today.
Right, so that's my
and
question.
And that's the thing. I think
so
that when they
just,
do that, I don't think they're good enough.
I
just don't think they're
right,
good enough.
That's the question.
When Christian said last week, the week before, about United are still in it, I was still going, no. And today confirmed that for
well,
me.
Well, I think they're still in it. Mourinho, he did definitely come out a little more open than normal, but their away games against top six teams, there's been 8 games played, and he's only scored 1 goal, and he's got 0 points away from Old Trafford. So it's just a matter of, like, are you going to get 1 point or are you going to get no points? And in this, I as a United...
You're not going to win the league doing that.
No, you're not. But as a United supporter, this is where you go into your international break, not feeling really great about the football your team is playing and wondering, where's this really going?
Right.
You know, we feel like we've got...
Is this another Van Gaal year?
Well, and is Mourinho just using Manchester United to prop his own ego
for
up?
For Barcelona?
Which, you know, I mean, to me, he's always been... It's the Donald Trump thing, right? It's like he's just in this situation to make his ego seem bigger than what it is. I mean, I from what I've read, he cried when he didn't get the job
not
at
yet.
Manchester
it's in his
United.
Biography.
And he doesn't, well, it's not his biography, but a biography, a very good book written about him that really takes him down.
That might have been
ways.
The one that I got.
Yeah, it's a good read. I can't recall the name of it right now. But I was impressed that they came out, they tried, But this result, only 1-0, it should have been 2-0. That Phil Jones' own goal, that was an own goal.
That was an own goal.
Yeah, that was an own goal.
A bad call.
But, no, I was saying it was an own goal.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the key with United is Lukaku. And Lukaku was on fire at the beginning of the year. In the last seven games, he's done nothing.
But this is what he does, right? This was his MO coming in.
Right. We do need to move on. I'm being saved by time here. Everton versus Watford. We can't not talk about this.
What a game. What a game.
I mean, 2-0, and then Everton comes back, and they score three unanswered goals. They take the lead on a penalty kick. Stoppage time, another PK for Watford, and missed by a lot.
Oh, that was...
You got
Not clever at all.
That was me taking my...
Ex-United guy, too.
That was me taking penalties in the new FIFA. The new FIFA taking penalties is impossible. And I fell for Cleverly. I was like, I've been there, buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're looking for a game to watch, and this is what I think is the beauty of the Premier League, is if you put on the last 45 minutes, which is really the last 57 because they had 12 minutes of extra time, but the last half of the game, this is the beauty of the Premier League. It was 0-0 at halftime, and it was just end-to-end, back and forth. You thought that
sometimes
you thought it was
sleeper
figured
games,
out.
Like
when Everton had the same thing last year against Bournemouth.
Best games, you're like, I'm not going to watch Watford Everton on Monday Night Football, and then like you look at the result and you're like, man, I should have watched.
You watch every match that you possibly can. We love the beautiful game, and that's we support our clubs, but you know what? If there's a match on, I'm watching it.
This was the better game than United-Chelsea.
It was more entertaining. Does it have a bigger result on what's going to happen in the story of the Premier League this year?
Of course not.
Of course not, but that's where...
I don't know, maybe. I mean, like drops
no,
in.
No,
like,
come on.
Come on.
Chelsea,
man.
If Everton just barely makes it and just barely stays up, this is a big...
Well, this is a big 3 points one. Yeah. I mean, it pulled them out of the relegation zone, so there's definitely a big result for them. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Okay.
All the best, guys.
It's your birthday. All right, that's about it for this week, guys. Have a great week. I'm Andy.
Goma.
What a...
Daniel.
All right.
Christian.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Bye.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.